You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Yee-haw! There it is, another imitation of Alan Gilman hurting himself. Good morning, and it is a gorgeous day. Finally, we get a nice sunny Saturday morning here in Toronto. Alan Gilman is away. He's on the shelf one more week, and hopefully his MRI comes back and he can get a pair of socks on or something.
Hopefully
like that.
Soon. He's not doing well.
The back.
Yes.
Great getting older. Yeah. I just love it. This is Steve Scheinman along with Brian Max for Dave's Corner Garage for another hour of who knows what's going to go on, but a lot of fun, a lot of great information as usual. And we welcome into the studios this morning a new guest in from Shift Motors, Max Maurice. How are you, Max?
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
Listen, yeah. Max is the company Shift deals with Teslas almost exclusively. And so I'm sitting in the parking lot this morning, and I'm watching this car roll in. I went, I can't hear anything. And it's like, how long have you had this one?
Quite some time. So the Model 3, about a couple months now. I've owned a Chevy Bolt before that, for about a year. But the Model 3 is just so much different. Autopilot, the speed, the looks.
Listen to his voice.
Yeah, you can
I'm
see
in
it.
Heaven.
Oh yes, yeah. But it's a cool car. I've driven one, and it's a cool thing.
And we'll get into it more and more about entry levels for Tesla and other EV cars news that he's got stored up. So there's some good information. A lot of stuff we did not know about, especially me.
And I'm learning something, too.
You are.
It's true.
I like that.
It's true.
That's good. Plus, we're going to have Gary, where he is up there, Gary McWhorter from Mr. Transmission, as everybody gets ready to get the cars ready for the spring and summer. And there's a lot of issues that you have to get used to getting done on it, and he'll be telling us more about that. Mark Payman from Mazda is going to talk about the new
CX-50.
Yeah,
I drove it a couple of weeks ago.
Oof.
The episode's now on my YouTube channel, and I really enjoy driving this thing. It's a mid-sized crossover. It's a brand new, all new product for Mazda. It's designed for North America and made in North America.
It's nice. You know, beautiful. And the colors are great.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I go for. I don't care about the performance. Give me a chartreuse with a little lemon on the side. And also, today is the beginning of our April promotion. And it's a good one. Again, courtesy of Darren Bostons and everybody at Triangle Tires. So here's the deal. Today, you go to davescornergarage.com, look for the contest page right just about there, and you enter your name. Everything's legal for the most part.
It's definitely legal.
Yes. And then you get a chance to win a full set of Triangle Tires, a full application from Trevor Hutchison's gang at Crown, perfectly installed by Glenn Allen Motors. If Allen doesn't get back, Glenn will put it in.
Someone will look after
Glenn so
Allen.
It's enter as soon as you can, and we'll be announcing the winner towards the end of the month, but get in as much as you can when you can, which is terrible English, but it made sense to me this morning. At davescornergarage.com, you can follow us on Facebook. And coming up next, we're going to get back into what's going on with gas prices. And
gas prices are a concern today?
It's up and down.
Are you kidding?
2 weeks ago, it was $1.85, right? A year ago today, it was 82 cents a liter.
Yeah. Yep.
On that really positive note, we'll take the calls. If you have them, give us a call, and we'll be back more this hour, along with Max Maurice from Shift Motors and Brian Max. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stay with us. Get a coffee. Maybe put something in it and enjoy it more. We'll be back in a second. Oh, I guess we're back. Disorganized as usual. I like it. It's a comfort zone we have here at Dave's Corner Garage. This hour, we're joined for the entire hour with Max Maurice from Shift Motors, located in Oakville.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have you here for the hour, and he's going to jump in throughout the hour about things going on with Tesla and EVs in general. But speaking of not worrying about gas with an EV, what's with these? You want to talk about the questions we had coming in about my car takes regular gas. Is there a benefit to premium, or is it just a waste of money?
You know, and this is a very good question. And you know, for me, the answer has always been that you know, simple answer, which is it depends. And it depends on what you're driving. So I've done a little bit of a deeper dive, and some of my colleagues in the automotive media business have actually done some proper testing. So I've got some insight. But, you know, for example, one of my cars at home is a non-turbocharged four-cylinder, big four-cylinder. And it calls for premium, but it can run just fine on regular. So one of the things I wanted to mention is that the myth of premium fuel having more detergent in it to keep the engine running better, that's old news. That's 20 years out of date, because all fuels are fairly clean. They have the detergents in them to keep the engines running cleaner. And I think if Al were here, he could confirm that.
Oh, he's calling, you know, in right now.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
Al.
Yeah,
put you on hold.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the any grade of fuel now is fairly clean. It's got the detergents in it. So it really doesn't matter. So with this one particular car that I've got, what happens is the engine will just basically slightly reduce the timing and slightly reduce the power output. So I might be losing 2 horsepower. Out of a 200 horsepower motor, that's not much of a concern in day-to-day driving. Now, if I were taking it to the racetrack where it would be working hard, I'd definitely put premium fuel in it. But in day-to-day driving, that's not necessary.
It's more the mileage, though, people are concerned with. And the, I guess the scare factor, maybe. You know, you get a new car and it says you must use premium. And if you don't, you go, it's like, what could it do to your car?
Right.
So typically in a new 2020, 21, or 22, mm-hmm. do the majority of cars, underlying majority,
yes,
need premium, or can they just go with regular?
To answer that question honestly and fairly, it's no. Most brand new cars have sophisticated engine control systems where they will detect the grade of fuel, and if it detects a lower grade of fuel, like 87 octane, all it does is slightly back off timing so that there's no pre-ignition, there's no knocking, and the engine runs fine. The thing is, you can test this on your own. So you can track your own mileage, you know, run a couple of tanks of premium versus a couple of tanks of regular fuel, and track your mileage, and of course pay attention to how it's driving. But most modern cars generally don't need premium fuel. There are exceptions, and those are on the fringe. So on the high performance end of things, like the genuinely high performance cars. For example, years ago I drove a Mustang GT350, very high performance Mustang, very specialized Mustang, very much made for the track and that sort of thing. And it was a test car from Ford. Well, the colleague of mine who drove it the week before filled it with regular. That was one of those engines where in the owner's manual said absolutely nothing less than 91, no excuses, do not run anything less than 91 octane. I drive the car, and of course I'm sensitive to all this sort of thing. I feel the engine not performing well and that sort of thing. And what I did is, instead of sending it back to Ford and having them drop the fuel tank and drain it, I drove it long distances very easily, never to full throttle, just to drain the tank, and then filled it with good fuel, and then the car was very happy. But most cars, most trucks don't require premium fuel, even if they say they do. And that's partly because the engine control systems are so sophisticated,
right.
And the engines aren't very stressed. They're not building engines to their maximum potential. So
what about the impact, though, on the concern that I would have as a layman consumer,
mm-hmm.
is what kind of impact does it have, or is the perception in your mind that if it says premium but I use regular, what's it going to do to my transmission? Do I need to get the car cleaned more often, repaired, that sort of line?
In general, you know, if we're talking about a regular sedan or a regular crossover, yeah. even up to, you know, some of the half-ton trucks, they generally don't need premium fuel. And it's not going to have any effect on anything anymore. The only thing you just want to test if you're going to get poor fuel mileage on you know, 87 or 89 octane, and if it calls for, you know, 91 or 93. So I would test it, but you know, the majority of regular everyday cars, trucks, and crossovers can operate just fine. I would test it.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy next to me when I was filling out my car yesterday, mm-hmm. and he had an F-150. He filled it up.
How much was that?
$120.
That's cheap.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe that. Anyways, it's you need it. It's otherwise you sit home and wait for next year. But you can't do that. We're going to be back next with the impact on your car is with transmissions. And everybody's getting ready for the drives on the highway. We're going to talk to Gary McWhorter next for Mr. Transmission. And later on, more with Max Maurice from Shift Motors. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we'll be right back. So stay with us. It is the law, so get ready for that. Okay, listen, don't forget, today is the beginning of our contest for the entire month, and operators are standing by.
Well, the website's standing by, davescornergarage.com, and there's a link at the top of the page that says contest.
Easy.
Yeah,
click the button, and boom, away you go. You get a chance to win a full set of tires from Triangle, a crown application, and unfortunately, this guy won't be here for it, but he's got information to talk about your trannies as you're getting ready for summer driving. We welcome once again from Mr. Transmission, the one and only, that's enough of a build-up for you. Here's Gary McWhorter. How are you, Gary?
Thanks, Steve. Quite an introduction. Good morning, guys. Happy spring.
Good morning.
Thank you. Is your pool open yet or what?
Yeah, it's open, but it's hard as ice.
Oh. Well, just a little rum and you'll be fine. Just pour it on top.
Another month or two.
Yeah. All right, listen, we've been getting a lot of calls, and that's why I thought we'd have you on this morning, about what are you seeing typically for this time of the year with transmissions and your biz? What are people coming in for the most?
Well, it's pretty typical. Every spring, as the weather gets warmer, there's lots of concerns that, you know, the motors have to consider, especially after the winter we just had. The salt brine that they're using on the roads, you know, the spray that they put on the roads, it's quite good for the environment, but it really kills cars. Like, it eats away at the metal underneath your vehicle. It rusts everything. Rusts transmission pans, engine pans, fuel lines, brake lines, and more importantly for us, the steel cooling lines that carry your transmission fluid up to the cooler, or some cars still have a cooler inside the radiator tank. And if they leak or rust, resulting in low fluid levels, you're going to have problems. And sometimes a telltale sign is just, you know, a few drops of fluid where you park, especially if you park in the same spot or the same side of the driveway. If your transmission creates a delay going into drive or reverse, transmission fluid might be low. And low fluid levels, they can create larger problems, as you can well imagine. You combine the rust issue with the fact that a lot of vehicles don't have a dipstick, and it prevents you from checking the proper transmission level.
Yeah,
you can't tell if there's enough fluid in it. You know, sometimes it seems the whole world is going through some drastic changes, you know, and it's affecting the automotive market. People are driving less, working from home more, and as you say, the price of fuel, it results in a bit of neglect and vehicles sitting in the driveway. You combine that with the unavailability of new cars and the skyrocketing resale prices of used ones, we need to take care of what we have. So it's a good idea to have the transmission fluid level checked, or if not checked, at least check it for leaks when you change the oil. You know, the transmission works hydraulically, so it won't work without fluid. unlike your engine, it'll just keep going until it blows to pieces with no oil in it.
I've done that with a couple of race cars, Gary. That's for sure. But that's not good with a road car. Now, with transmission service, for example, one of the cars I've got at home has got a couple hundred thousand kilometers on it, way past any sort of warranty and anything like that. Yeah. What's with something like that? A car that's got 100,000-200,000 kilometers, it's still running well. What sort of inspection and service interval should car owners look at for their transmissions?
Well, in Canada or in Toronto, you have to look. And consider if the owner's manuals, they usually say change the fluid and filter if you have a replaceable filter by 100,000 kilometers, except in extreme conditions. Well, you can call Toronto extreme conditions because, the temperatures are volatile. From summer to winter, you're going from almost plus 40 to minus 40. That's pretty volatile, And it affects things, the constant heating and cooling and everything. It tends to crack stuff, rubber transmission cooling lines, they'll crack. And if your fluid's low, it's going to create problems. So you should have your fluid checked, change it if it hasn't been changed. Another thing to consider, if you're plowing snow or even if you got stuck in the snow, that's what we talked about last time, or even towing a trailer, or if you plan to tow, make sure to change the fluid in your transmission.
Especially now with people getting ready with their RVs and their trailers. I mean, it's probably the last thing they're going to look at, but you need it before you're driving up to, say, Perry Sound. All of a sudden, it's like, what's that?
What's that scent?
What's that aroma? It's not a sandwich,
A small leak can go unnoticed.
Yeah.
And contrary to popular belief, there's no light that comes on if your transmission fluid's low. But, you get towing a trailer, like you say, and all of a sudden a small leak in a rusted cooling line develops into the cooling line blowing on the highway. Forget it.
No
you're
fun.
Not into a cooling line, you're into a full transmission.
Okay, listen, if people want to find out more about it, you can go to MrTransmission.com. Your location, whereabouts are you located, Mr. McWhorter?
Right on Yonge Street, Richmond Hill, south of Major McKenzie.
Great. Well, listen, I hope the pool and the ice start to melt at the same time, and we'll be up there one day. All right, bud. Thanks a lot.
Get the ice and the drink cup and the water in the pool.
In that order. You have a good weekend.
Show, guys. Thanks.
All right. Cheers.
Very good.
All right. Coming up next, our special guest this hour is Max Maurice from Shift Motors. We're going to get into all kinds of information about Teslas, EVs, and things you may not have known. Really?
That's right. I've learned stuff already today. I'm going to learn more. I'm excited.
Stay with us. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and our special guest this hour is Max Maurice from Shift Motors out in Oakville. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and I just got to be a little tongue-in-cheek to start off. What was all that talking? 98 octane diesel, all these gas.
Here
I just
go.
Plug in my car. I wake up with a full battery. It's the easiest thing on the planet.
So basically, it was nice having you on the show, Max.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure.
So listen, we've had a lot of calls coming in and a lot of emails into our Facebook page about Tesla overall. And is it the only game in town? But what are the big advantages of the Tesla?
Yeah, so Tesla, I mean, there's no way around it. They've been in the game way ahead of everyone else.
But I
won't say they're the best. They might do the best for a lot of things, like their autopilot is next to none. But for things like perhaps quality, maybe you'd go to a Polestar or a Taycan or the new e-tron from Audi. For things like if you want Apple CarPlay, Tesla doesn't have that.
Now their system is actually quite good.
It is great, yeah.
But once you go to a Tesla, you can't get
can't use Waze. There's a lot of different options out there now, and I get the question almost every day. Well, where are the electric trucks? Where are the electric vans? Where are the electric sports cars? They're not quite there yet. Right now, it's still if you want an electric car, it's basically like a smallish SUV, little compact car, or a sedan like a Model S or a Taycan again.
But I'm seeing so many. Just in the last couple of weeks, and every kind of age demographic in the world buying these things.
Mm-hmm.
So people are coming in. What's typically the entry level price on a Tesla? And what the articles we've seen is that over the years, it pays to get an electronic car versus contemporary gas.
Oh, absolutely. When you really start to break the numbers down, it really starts to make sense. An entry-level Model 3, you know, still depends on the year and whatnot, but right around 60 grand. And sure, the car is slightly more expensive than, say, a C-Class or a Civic or something, but the running costs, the maintenance costs, virtually none. You have the brakes, you have the suspension, you have your windshield washer fluid, you have your tires. I'm not really joking here, but that's kind of it. Oh, pardon me, cabin air filter.
That's a big expenditure.
It's a big one. Got to tally that up too.
Yeah, $20 bucks maybe.
Yeah, just about. So yes. Yeah,
break the bank right away.
Yes. Yeah, take it a small loan. Yeah, but like with my electric car, so I've owned an electric car for about a little over a year now. Fortunately, I can charge at work for free. Somewhat unfortunately, I can't charge at home right now. I live at an apartment with outdoor parking. But so for the past year, besides my insurance payment and my car payment, I haven't paid a penny to drive the thing.
And you know, that's the one upside. I mean, I'm at several gas stations mm-hmm. a week, whether I like it or not, and you never have to do that with an electric.
Yeah, like I get the comment, "Oh, it takes forever to charge." No, it doesn't.
You're not utilizing the car, you know, every waking moment. So yeah. it the car sits, right?
How often are you driving 600 kilometers in a day?
Well, sometimes I do that.
Sometimes you do,
no,
yeah.
But, you know, realistically, the car sits for the vast majority of the day. So with an EV, you can take advantage of that and make sure it's charged.
Yeah, and then the little acronym, there's ABC, right? Always be charging.
See, yeah. I learned something new again today.
We're at school today. It's a Tesla school. Mm-hmm. Typically, how long, this is a question that just came in.
Sure.
Typically, how long does it take to charge up an EV, say a Tesla?
So this question could be half an hour, but there's basically three levels of charging. Of course, the quickest being level three, the superchargers, right? You'll see them at Vaughan Mills, you'll see them in Kingston and Cornwall, and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
This is for Tesla specifically, I should say, and 0 to 100%, you're talking an hour, hour and a half. There are universal chargers. So if you have a Bolt or a Leaf or any other electric car, they use either a CCS or a CHAdeMO is the type of connector. And the newer ones from in Petro-Canada, across Canada, they have now, I think it's 350 kilowatts, but you still need, the car needs to be able to take that charge. So it does get complicated, but so on the slightly slower level threes, mm-hmm. we're still talking like hour and a half to fully charge, which again, you're rarely doing.
And just before I let you go in, Brent, is while you're listening to this, go to shiftmotors.com on the line, and you'll see what we're talking about, and the selection they have out there is staggering, considering how tight it is for inventory.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is the thing where we are now. There's so many EVs. I mean, there's so many Teslas on the road to begin with, but now manufacturers are coming out with all kinds of EVs all the time, as we will get into with Mazda. They've got a small electric car now, too.
They do, yeah.
It's not currently not sold in Ontario, but will be shortly. Mm-hmm. And you know, every car maker is coming out with a new electric, and it's a very interesting time. I think when electrics first hit the market, and that was primarily Tesla, everybody mm-hmm. was talking about the life cycle of the battery packs.
Yep.
And that has turned out to not be a problem. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, I mean, so the original Model S, the first deliveries were, if memory serves me well here, June 2012. So we're coming up on a decade. The
really?
Model S is 10 years old. And you see them on the street, they look just as new, right? Yes, the health of the battery and degradation, big question.
Wow.
And it really breaks down to two things, how you charge and discharge the car. So if you're always charging 100%, 0%, 100%, 0%, the lithium-ion batteries, they're not happy that way. The second thing that'll really affect the battery's health is the level of charging. So I mentioned 1, 2, and 3. If you're always charging at level 3, it's ramming a whole bunch of energy. And I like this analogy. Level 1 is like just a 110 volt, you know, standard household socket. It's like walking. Then you got your level 2 is like jogging. Then you got your level 3, it's a sprint.
Well, forget that. Level 3, I'm out. And so is the car.
Yeah. So if you sprint, right, you're going to have to slow down. So walking and jogging every day or every other day, very healthy.
So curiosity factor is this. People have been writing in again all this week, knowing that you were going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're sort of sitting on the edge going, you know, I'm not quite sure if I can afford it or how it fits,
mm-hmm.
you have a rental program there.
We do.
Which is a really, explain how that works at sure. Shift.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, we just have a couple standard range Model 3s. So that is the, you know, air quotes here for the listeners, entry-level Model 3, rear-wheel drive, about 400 kilometers of rated range. And the extended test drive, I'll call it, or rental, however you want to phrase it, is very beneficial because, sure, you can come into Shift Motors at 1151 South Service Road West and come for a little five-minute test drive, but it's just a snippet, right? Right. If you want to really experience or see if it works for you, rent it for a weekend. Plug in at home. Go to Costco. See how the space is. Do the kids like it? How's the acceleration, right? So having the car for a little more than just 5 minutes is very beneficial.
What are people, when they come back from their first experience with a Tesla, EV, but let's talk about Tesla for now.
Sure.
What's the biggest reaction they have to you?
They do not want to give the keys back. I've gotten the question a couple times, can I buy this very car? And I go, sure thing, we can talk some numbers. But no, and we've had a few people that, you know, my sister has a car, my colleague has a car, I don't know. And I go, great. Like, we'll have a chat in 3-4 days when you come back. They come back, all grins. You know, they go, how does this car exist? It doesn't make sense. It's so smooth, so quiet. It's very ineffective to, or inexpensive, pardon me, to run. So it's just, again, we talk about driver's car. Maybe it's not the best track car, an enthusiast car, but for an everyday commuter car, you cannot get any better.
Yeah. Go ahead.
To me, the big benefits are the quiet.
Oh.
Fact that like they're so
you can whisper in the cabin. Phone calls. You don't have to yell. It's amazing.
That's true. And then on the other end, the enthusiast aspect is all EVs are very quick in terms of acceleration.
Oh, they're zippy. They are zippy. Yeah. Even my little Chevy Bolt that I had, 0-100, 7 seconds, it's zippy.
And for timing wise, I mean, if you're coming in from Burlington into the Big Smoke for work, or up from Barrie down, or in from Oshawa, the HOV lanes,
green plates, baby.
Way you go.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's when you think about the mileage, gas that you're not using anymore, the hydro, which you have to use, obviously.
Yep.
But the amount of time you're going to save on the HOV lanes coming in, like typically when you come in from, say, Hamilton to Toronto in a day, if you're lucky, you're in an hour and 10, maybe an hour and 20.
Sure.
But HOV, you're in what? Half an hour?
Just about half that. Yeah, my commute's Oakville or Hamilton to Oakville without skipping a beat, unless something freak happens. It's about 20 minutes. My buddy does the exact same commute. 45 minutes is a good day.
So, Mr. Heavyfoot over here, like, how? What's it like as far as, you know, you've driven them?
Yes.
What's it like as far as acceleration that you're used to with, another like a BMW? Is it a fair comparison?
In terms of acceleration, the only way to compare a Tesla, like a typical Tesla driving experience, is with an ultra high performance internal combustion engine car. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a Tesla Model S, especially some of the upper ones, they're so quick that, you know, I'd have to compare them to a supercar, something crazy like a BMW M5. You know, they're so quick that it boggles your mind. And to be fair, that's a little bit of a learning curve. If you're coming from an average internal combustion engine car, you're getting into a car that can accelerate extremely quickly.
And even at 50K as an entry level, ballpark, right?
Sure.
If you get, like, I'm really happy with my Honda Accord. It's my daddy's, my son says it's an old man's car, and I tell him where to go. But it's a great car. But when you start loading it up, you're looking at over 50K.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a great car, but it's more and more I'm leaning to getting an electric car. And, I mean, Tesla's everywhere. I love the setup at Yorkdale. Mm-hmm. And you guys are out in Oakville. So give us the address one more time.
1151 South Service Road West, right off the highway. You can either take Third Line or what is it, Dorval? Dorval.
You drive there. I don't know where it is.
The Tesla drives on autopilot. Just takes me there.
Excuse me. It's great. We'll have more information about Tesla. And any EV questions that you may have, give us a call. The lines are wide open. And don't forget, davescornergarage.com. to win a full set of tires from Triangle and Crown Application. Speaking of cars, the new launch of Mazda's CX-50. We've got Mark Payman coming up for Mazda, and that's going to be Brian Schtick. Right after this, stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll get to the contest entries before the show is out and give you the address for Schiff Motors before the hour's out. So before the hour's out is the new phrase for my mouth today. Anyway, there's a launch that happened, I guess, about a week ago.
Two weeks ago.
See, I'm right on the ball today. And it was with Mazda Canada. We're going to hand it over to Brian. And it's all yours, man.
Yeah, so Mazda invited me to drive the all-new CX-50. It's a mid-size crossover, and we have Mark Payman on the line. He's got a very long title: National Manager, Product and Electrification Strategy. How are you, Mark?
I'm excellent, thanks. I'm glad you were saying that one and not me, but thanks for having me on the show.
Does that require two business cards or three?
Yeah, that's the front and the back.
Beautiful. All right.
So as you know, Mark, I really enjoy driving the CX-50, and as I'm sure regular viewers of my YouTube channel know, I love Mazda for the premium design, both inside and out. I think they're exceptionally well designed, and also dynamically, because I'm a racing driver, and I love the way Mazdas respond to me. And the new CX-50 is right in line with that. I really enjoy driving it. Obviously, the one I drove had the most powerful motor. I love that that turbocharged motor, and to me, it worked really well. But what I like about CX-50 is that it is it looks a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more athletic, I'd say, than some of the other crossovers in the line.
That's your turn, Mark.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're familiar with CX-5, of course, and that's the differentiation component between the two. And CX-5's playing in that more elegant urban space, whereas now we have the CX-50. It's more squared off. It's more rugged, adventurous looking. We're really looking to introduce new customers to the brand with this vehicle. It's a space we haven't had representation in prior.
Yeah, I enjoyed all of the dynamics, especially, you know, what you guys do with braking is excellent, and you know, the CX-50 was a no exception to that. Just, I love the way it responds to me as a driver. I'm set up perfectly as a driver, and, you know, to me, Mazdas have always been driver's cars, and that's the entire range from the MX-5 all the way up to the CX-9. At CX-50 is very close to CX-5, which is an established crossover in the range. How are you differentiating these two? Because they're very similar in terms of size and sort of capability. How are you differentiating these two?
Yeah, definitely. I'll touch on you mentioned the braking, and it's interesting. I mean, this vehicle is about kind of off-road capability, and braking isn't something we'd probably be discussing otherwise, but because you are the enthusiast you are and you do have those racing successes under your belt, I think that's something that kind of the more enthusiast bent notices in these vehicles. And we call it internally the seventh generation of product with Mazda. Doesn't mean anything to anybody on the outside, but to us, that's where we had a switch over to, like, a large generational switch over. And we made a retune into the brake pedal feel. So you get that through the Mazda 3 and the CX-30. But it's really about the attention to detail in our vehicles, and the brake pedal feel, as you mentioned, the ability to modulate it, the kind of initial bite without being overly touchy. It's probably different than what most people feel in a vehicle or are used to in a vehicle, but it's all those detail items that in an off-road capable vehicle, people aren't likely going to expect. They're going to be expecting the more noticeable things, like how much ground clearance does it have or how compliant is the suspension on rutted roads or washed out roads. So it's really nice that you notice that. Beyond that, to answer your question about differentiation, CX-50 has a very deep cargo area. It's a very flat load floor, a low lift over. So we try to prioritize those things, ease of access. The rear doors have a 90-degree swing on them, so it's very easy to get up and access roof for roof loading. In conjunction with that, the roof access, the roof is lower, so it's easier to access. It has a higher ground clearance, as I mentioned. The roof is actually reinforced, so for heavier items up there. I know rooftop tents, people are taking these vehicles camping and everything.
Yeah.
The rooftop tent.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
There's a very large, deep accessory offering on this vehicle. We certainly have accessories on all our vehicles, but we went deeper in this particular case. And then one of the other large points of differentiation is the towing capability. This has a 3,500-pound towing capability.
Whoa.
Most of our direct competitive set is just over 2,000 pounds on average. Most of them are 2,000, CX-5 included. But we've got a towing mode and 3,500-pound capability on our turbocharged version of the CX-50. So that's kind of the differentiation in a nutshell, aside from the aesthetics, which you mentioned earlier, which are, it's a much more rugged, adventurous looking vehicle.
There's no question in my mind, and I can attest to towing. We did tow the that 3,500-pound trailer with CX-50, and it was quite capable. And on top of that, there is a towing mode that's built into the car, but it only comes online when a trailer is connected to the car. It is, I don't think I've driven anything else that is, you know, so thoughtful and has had so much attention to detail paid to it. You know, for example, the sport mode, which I genuinely prefer because it's an authentic sport mode, unlike a lot of other cars where it just might dial up throttle response or something like that. All the parameters in the car change, so it's a genuine sport mode. And what it does that blows me away is it disengages the cruise control, which, in my opinion, it should do, because if you're going to be enjoying the car, you don't want it to take care of any of its functions on its own. You don't want it to be on cruise control. You want to drive it, and that's what Mazda Sport Mode does. I love the way your engineers deal with these things, Mark. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't get tired of it either, to be honest with you. A lot of the engineering is done out of our U.S. office in Southern California, and you know, every chance I get, I talk to them to try and absorb all the nitty-gritty of what goes on behind the scenes and the amount of painstaking efforts they take to make sure our cars are dynamic and engaging. And that's what this program was about, really. It was to strike a balance. We've got to be true to that soul of a sports car ethos. And that's marketing, but it's also not marketing. That's what we've always been driven by. And, you know, to put that into perspective, the throttle behavior on this vehicle was actually benchmarked using a Porsche 997, which is a 911 variant.
One of my favorite cars of all time.
Yeah, so you probably felt right at home. And we're often asked what car is benchmarked. We don't even benchmark cars. We take the best of different areas, and often that's our own vehicles even. So, yeah, that's what you get when you got enthusiasts and hardcore car enthusiasts running the company right up through our parent company in Hiroshima in Japan.
Listen, Mark, thanks for joining us. If people want to find out more about the new look for the CX-50, what's your website for Mazda?
It's simple. It's Mazda.ca.
I like that, especially on a Saturday. I can even handle that. Mark, listen, hopefully we'll get you back on again and let us know how the release of the CX-50 goes throughout the year.
Excellent.
Okay,
appreciate
right. Time,
gentlemen.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're back more with Max Maurice and information about Tesla and new things with EVs right after this. Stay with us. Funny how things work out so smoothly like that. Sometimes it works. And davescornergarage.com, that's our website. Go to it and enter to win a full set of Triangle tires and a Crown application. Now, speaking of saving money, the government's actually doing something kind of decent.
There must be an election coming. Who knew?
You think.
Who knew?
There's been some changes on what you may not have to pay anymore for tolls.
Yes, well, I drive east of the city a lot, and the 412 and 418, sort of 407 to 401 connections are no longer toll roads. So the idea is that's going to take some of the relief off the 401.
Which would be nice.
Which will be great, because, I mean, I drive out there a lot, and the 401 there is so busy. So I will definitely use the 412 and 418. So that seems like it's permanent. So the province is saving us motorists
and
some money.
And a personal request, Premier Ford, I know you listen to the show once in a while.
Yeah.
Do something with the 407 tolls. I'll just leave it there. It's incredible. I drove, you know, when you drive during rush hour.
Yes. I know.
It's a lovely bill when you get back home.
I know. It's nasty.
All right. We've got some incentives that you guys want to talk about with Tesla.
Yeah. I haven't kept on it up on it because I don't drive EVs all that much, and my audience is international, so I don't really look at local incentives. I know the province pulled back on some EV incentives, but mm-hmm. Max, what's the state of EV incentives in Ontario and Canada right now?
Yeah, so it is somewhat of a gray area for a lot of people, as yourself there, Brian, but there is still the $5,000 incentive for electric cars under 55,000, and they have to be new. So there is not a single Tesla at the moment that applies for that $5,000 incentive in Ontario because of the recent price changes there. So the base Model 3 is now, I think it's 62,000, 63.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there are several other EVs made by other manufacturers,
yes,
that would qualify. And that's a federal incentive.
Yeah, it's federal. Exactly. Okay. So Nissan Leafs, Chevy Bolts, depending on, again, if it's under I think it's 55,000, but I think the base model has to be under 50,000 with options up to 55,000.
Got it.
But yeah, so there's plenty that still do get that. And some of you may know, used to be 14,000. So just a few years ago, you'd buy a Bolt and that was like a quarter of the car. Just thank you very much. So, and yes, there are other provinces in Canada that still do have a little bit more. I think BC, it's like 8,000 or something.
Isn't
like
Quebec
that.
10K?
I think Quebec has an incentive as well.
Yeah, something like that. But the one thing too is used electric car incentives. So Quebec, some of the eastern provinces, they have a couple bucks that the government kind of throws at you when you buy a used electric car, which we would love to have here in Ontario. It definitely incentivizes, it is just that, an incentive to get an electric car. So it would be well welcomed here in Ontario.
So what's it like at Shift as far as used Teslas? Do you have them?
Oh yeah, we have a whole bunch. Check out shiftmotors.com. We have we're cycling through our inventory right now, but dozens and dozens and dozens of cars right now, I think 50 or so. And they're all used, right? Some of them have 1,000 kilometers on them. Some of them have 110,000 kilometers on them. Like there is a large variety there. At the moment, mostly Model 3s. We don't have a single Model X in yet. If you're looking for a Model X, stay tuned and we can keep you posted. But yeah, so there's no incentive. There is no rebate at all when it comes to used electric cars in Ontario.
So if somebody's looking at getting a used Tesla, all right, how many kilometers would that have on it, generally speaking?
It varies. And a slight little tidbit, like I find they either come in with super low kilometers or super high kilometers because it's either someone's only car or their like third car that they go to Costco with, right? So like we have a 2016 with 20,000 kilometers on it. Like this thing was baby. It a garage queen. Yeah. So and
Brian,
then
Brian's getting his checkbook out right now.
There you go. I see him signing it right now.
I need a Lamborghini first.
Oh, excuse me.
The Urus. We've seen cars in with 400,000 kilometers. My Model 3 has 170,000 kilometers on it to 2018. High mileage doesn't carry the same weight as, say, a gas car because, again, just so few moving parts.
And as far as getting it fixed, repaired at all, I mean, there's typically if it's like 170K to 200,000 kilometers, how often would it have to be serviced?
So not even the manufacturers themselves, they have like a recommended service schedule. So it's not like, say, BMW, where it's like, oh, every 18,000 kilometers do this. So it really depends on how and how much you drive. If you're an Uber driver and you drive 100,000 kilometers in a year, of course, check the brakes. Of course, check the suspension. But like my parents, they drove 50,000 kilometers in 3 years, I think. So, you know, a little bit. And they didn't check the brakes or do anything, and their car was just fine. So
tires? What about tires as far as the wear and tear?
So the electric cars, as we previously mentioned, the torque. So again, it still depends on how you drive, but the weight of the cars, usually they're a little heavier than, say, a gas car, and the instant torque of it, even if you're not mashing the throttle, you can expect about half a year less in the life of the tire. So that is something to consider as well. It's a little bit of a hidden cost, right? People think, oh, gas savings, no oil changes. But yeah, tires, you do go through a little quicker.
And if you drive like I do, you go through them every 3 or 4 months.
But yeah,
people
yeah.
shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a very good idea.
It's a great idea.
Especially with the potholes that are like absolutely everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the way, if you're listening to the show today, the boys are out for a full 12 hours today fixing potholes.
Oh, that's good news.
One truck with one shovel and three guys. Which is, it's insane.
Ah, big budgets here in Toronto.
The suspension, is it... Does it impact, if you hit a pothole in a Tesla, does it impact any differently than, say, in a Ford or F-150?
No.
No?
No. Not really. I mean, it is a heavier car, again, so it can depend. But no, for the most part, and like on my car, I actually lowered it on Mountain Pass Performance coilovers. So, a rear-wheel drive lowered car in the winter, you'd think it'd be horrible. Just fine. Get a good set of winter tires.
And speaking of tires, good segue. We didn't even rehearse. Go to davescornergarage.com all weekend long. And for the entire month, you got a chance to enter and win a full set of tires from Triangle and an application from Crown. I want to thank Max Maurice from Shift Motors for dropping by. And you'll get your Lamborghini one day, Brian Max.
One of these days.
One of these
days. And thanks, Mark Payman from Mazda Canada.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great weekend. Congratulations to Team Canada for getting into the World Cup. That is huge news. And if you noticed, we didn't mention that guy from the Academy Awards whatsoever, which is refreshing. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week right here on Dave's Corner Garage.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.